Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, Susan J. Demas, who writes Capital Chronicles. Hello, Susan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Jack?
Well, just fine. A lot going on this week in politics, but we have these rallies. We had the rally with Glenn Beck, and now we have Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, and it's a pretty interesting story and something that you've just written about.
Yeah, Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, you know, they've got their shows on Comedy Central, and they're having rallies on Washington on Halloween weekend. Jon Stewart's is the Rally to Return Sanity, which sounds real good to me. And Stephen Colbert wants to keep the fear going. Because, you know, fear is always good around election time. So, I think it'll be pretty funny. But some of the media seems to be taking these a little too seriously.
Yeah, the March to Keep Fear Alive. I half expect Jesse Jackson to trot out here and talk about Keep Fear Alive. But in terms of what Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert represent, I mean, I enjoy watching them, but don't people get the message? Are they maybe immune to the fact that this is satire of the highest order?
I don't know. I mean, Politico, which is, you know, the must-read publication out in Washington, they did this huge 3-page story on these rallies and the political impact, and they quoted anonymous sources for it, you know, and they didn't really seem to be in on the joke of it all.
Well, I thought anonymous sources were for very, very tense and tenuous situations, certainly not something about a gag rally that's more than a month away, but... apparently, that's the way things are going these days. What has surprised you this week in Washington or in Lansing?
I was very surprised that the Democrats didn't go for a vote on the tax cuts, especially extending the middle class tax cuts.
They're Democrats. Why would you expect them to do anything that seems to make sense?
That's a fair argument, Jack. I can't debate you on that one, but it just seemed like a no-brainer.
Well, what does it mean now? Does it mean that suddenly after the election this will come up again, that suddenly the climate would be different? I thought it was pretty comical to listen to Harry Reid and some of the other Democratic leaders talk about they didn't want to make this a bigger issue, as if the Republicans don't have enough ammunition in their Gatling gun.
Well, and all you have to do is you break out the middle class tax cuts from the ones on the wealthy, you know, those who make $200, $250 or more, much more, and then you don't have an argument, you know, because, you know, nobody cares about raising taxes on the rich but the rich, and there aren't that many of them. So you're fine with America. I mean, the polling, you know, you hope to get 50% on any given issue. On this, you've got 80%, they love taxing the rich. So you've got a slam dunk. It's rather silly.
Well, I thought I understood John Boehner to say between the lines that if it came down to a vote and he had to make a call, that they would acquiesce and they would vote in favor of the tax cuts for everyone making less than $250,000 a year. I don't know how they could vote any other way. But
it's hard to say with Republicans because they seem to vote no on everything, but they certainly don't want to be in a position when so many of them are saying, we were against the Wall Street bailout that President Bush had us pass. You know, they're campaigning against Wall Street. It'd be hard for them to go and vote to line their pockets.
All right, we have some polling numbers that are not necessarily in line in this state, and I think all of them agree that Virge Bernero is, at best, a double-digit runner-up right now, and some say as much as 27%. We know in the Secretary of State's race, Jocelyn Benson is a 10-point underdog at this point. But David Layton and Bill Schuette, those numbers are fairly close for Attorney General, and it's almost as if they're having a standoff of who is tougher on crime.
Yeah, they're close in one poll in Inside Michigan Politics, but in other polling, they've been about as far apart as Ruth Johnson and Jocelyn Benson.
Okay.
So we're not quite sure where the polling is. There are a lot of undecideds for both of those races.
Okay.
But, you know, there was a debate today on Off the Record. It's online right now, and you can see it tonight. And
what time does that air tonight, Susan?
It usually airs at 9 o'clock unless they've got special programming.
All right, 9 o'clock on WKAR here locally.
Yep. Yeah, it was pretty much a face-off between who was tougher on crime, which is, you know, and violent crime. You know, we kept hearing about rape cases and murder cases. And, you know, crime is an important issue for some voters, probably not that important this year because of the economy. But, you know, what no one seems to be talking about is that the Attorney General does very little with violent crime. That's up to county prosecutors to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're arguing over capital punishment and all these past cases, and we really have no idea what they're really going to do once they're in office.
And they haven't really given much of an indication of that. They've probably been so preoccupied with this other topic. Susan, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
You can check out Susan's blogs at mlive.com. That's the best place to get them and read her columns and blogs on everything going on, especially in Lansing at the state capitol.